West Coast Summer College Training, July 7th through 13th, 2008, Sacramento, California, United States. Title, That I May Gain Christ. Evening Session, The Experience of Christ in Philippians. Message 4, Taking Christ as Our Goal.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
That's a real good word. You all got that one memorized? We'll do it. We'll use it again. Okay, I got all my front row brothers here. You all have your verses memorized? If you're a little shy about getting called on, it's too late. Well, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
What's our goal?
Christ!
John, what's our goal?
Christ.
Amen! What are we going to do tonight?
Take Christ!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
I think you got it. Okay, you can open your binders to message 4, I hope. I have page what?
Page 111.
Brian's got it. And this is a continuation of the message last night Brother Ken shared. Does anybody remember what that was about? Taking who?
Christ.
As our?
Whoa.
For that, what do we need?
The excellency
of the knowledge of who?
Christ.
Not just Christ, Christ Jesus, who?
My Lord.
That my Lord is important.
Amen.
He's not objective.
Right?
Don, who's your Lord?
Jesus.
Amen. We have to realize He's the Lord. Now I have a certain amount of time to finish tonight. I'm very aware of how much it is. And I do a good job of being aware. Finishing is the problem. So, you front row brothers all have to pray.
Amen.
But it'll be okay. So last night, actually, how about we do this? If you have memorized it, which by now perhaps you should have, all those who've memorized it, just stand up. You don't know what yet, right? Philippians chapter 3. And let's do verses 7 through 11. Just stand, everyone who knows it, just stand up. And now, it's easy. If you don't really know it, you just kind of stand up, move your mouth, and get the words you know. Okay, I'll do the first word, but. Gain Christ!
And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is out of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is out of God and based on faith, to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death.
And to the out resurrection from the dead. Then extra credit. Go through verse 14.
Now that already.
Okay, Luis, go.
Now that already obtained, or am already perfected.
Amen.
But I pursue.
Pursue.
Even if I may lay hold.
I have been laid. Amen. Good. Amen. Brothers, one thing I do,
forgetting
the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before,
I pursue toward the goal for the prize to which God in Christ Jesus has called me upward.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now you can relax a minute. So, the Christian life has a goal and a prize. Did you realize that? You all know the Christian life has a goal? Are you clear what the goal is? Christ? Well, that's, you know, highest enjoyment, that's better. Let me ask, I need two brothers here. Come here. We start at this end and work our way around. So, okay, we got Simpson and Benjamin, okay? I want you two to have a race, okay? Now, so you're going to have a race, and when I say go, you'll run. And then when you're done, there will be a prize, I guess. Are you ready? Yeah. Okay, are you ready, Benjamin? That's a very good name, by the way. So, now, where are you going to go? How far are you going to go? To the finish, right? How will you know when you get there? And then, you know what the prize is? Is it worth running for? Possibly. If it's coming from me, it's not. So, okay, thank you. We can't approach the Christian life this way. I mean, you know, we can go. I think that's why I don't like running, other than the fact that it's exercise. I'll run a race because I'm not going to come in first, but I could try. And I can train for, I trained for one race in my life. The wheelchair guy has passed me. So that was the end of my running. But anyway, you want to get somewhere for a reason, right? The Christian life is no different than that, right? Why did God become processed to become a man and become the life-giving spirit to indwell us? You know why, right? God's desire, we always have to have these glasses. God's desire is to be expressed through man. God wants us all to be his corporate expression. But in that, we have a pursuit. We have a course that's laid out for us. And there's a finish line. I don't know how far it is. I don't know exactly where it is. But our whole life, we got to run. And there is a goal. And there is a prize. Otherwise, you know, God knows us very well. If there's no incentive, who will do anything? Right? If there are no exams in your classes, would you study? Okay, Andrew would. Praise the Lord. I audited some classes after I graduated. I did not study because I went in and I got kind of a little osmotic learning, listening to the professor critiquing him. I vaguely remember the title of the class, or at least what it was about. That's about it. Not much got in. But when I take the class for a grade, I study. Because the grades have a consequence on getting into graduate school, which is for a career, a job, money, big house, all these kind of things, right? We can say, well, we're not for that. Praise the Lord. That's good. But anyway, what are you for? Christ. Hallelujah. What does that look like? That's a good question, yeah. You know, what in our life, we need to be for something. Right? If we don't give ourselves to something, it's a really pitiful existence. You know, the Lord said to Laodicea, this church, one of the epistles to the church, seven churches in Revelation, he says, you're not hot or cold, so I'm going to spit you out. And it seems like, Lord, do you want us to be cold? Well, at least if you're cold, you know where you're at. Right? My heart is cold towards the Lord. Some people do not believe there's a God. Most people aren't sure. Christians believe there's a God, and they aren't sure what happens. They're going to go to heaven someday. I got my ticket to heaven, Or you could fall into another theological school, which is today I'm saved, maybe tomorrow I'm not. At least those might live with a little fear, like I got to do something. We realize the Christian life, we've got a course. But there's a goal and a prize. I mean, there's a prize. Tomorrow you're going to have an exam. We'll have some prizes. They're not that great. This prize that I'm talking about, it's, you know, infinity over whatever we got. It's so much better. How big is Christ? I mean, you know that joke, how big, anyway. Christ is unlimited. That's what we get. That's what we've got. That's what we have empowering us, supplying us. So we need to run this race towards the goal. And Paul the Apostle, I think, you know, we look at him here in Philippians, and he was not a new believer at this point. He'd been through quite a few things. Philippi was raised up while he and his traveling companion were, after having been beaten, were put in prison. And they were there enjoying the Lord at midnight. And they were released, and the jailer got saved, his family, and that started the church life in Philippi. And this is after that. So he's a brother who has some maturity. Now he says, not that I've already obtained. I think if I could take Paul's life at that point, and trade it not just for my life to this point, but maybe my life until the end of my life, whenever that would be. If someone said, hey, let's make a deal. Brian, Paul's life at this point or your life till the end, which one do you choose? He's wise. It's his maturity here. I think, how about it? Yeah, it looks pretty good, right? But Paul said, I don't know if I've made it yet, but I still pursue. He knew. Now, that's skipping ahead from where we're going to go tonight. But saints, we need to have a vision. You know, last night, Brother Ken shared some things, and I was just considering, after he shared, I thought, maybe I should call my wife and tell her, honey, I want you to go to the store and pick up some ground beef and some chips and some cheese and some seasonings, right? You getting hungry? You know, brown that ground beef and melt that cheese on it and put some guacamole and lettuce and tomatoes, sour cream, ranch. Yeah. Mmm. I don't know if you got a vision of Texas tacos or not. But anyway, especially if you were hungry, that sounds pretty good. Unless you're a vegetarian. But you can skip, you know, not eat the ground beef. But anyway, I was even considering that, and I got some questions. I don't know what kind of seasoning. And what kind of cheese is the best? And, you know, what about... So there's even more to be explored, right? To describe this Christ. So... What Paul had, you know, he had a revelation of Christ. And he had the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. So he saw the whole picture. But at that point, it's like hearing about the Texas tacos and seeing a picture of the Texas tacos. But if I gave you a picture of the Texas tacos, would you eat it? Well, I wouldn't. You would? Eat the picture. No. You know, we talk about eating the word, right? That doesn't mean you take the page out of your Bible and chew on it. But is it good to eat the word?
Yeah.
So if you know, the Lord Jesus said, he who eats me shall live because of me. Is this a great word?
Yeah.
But, you know, he spoke to an audience probably larger than this. And they were there. He just fed them with bread. He said, he who eats me shall live because of me. You got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And at that point, almost all of them left. The disciples stayed. And he said, are you going to go too? And Peter, right, says, he saw something. He says, where are we going to go? You have words of eternal life. He realized he's not talking about his physical body, right? He's talking about eating him as the Spirit in the Word. So we've tasted and we can testify that it is good to eat the Word. Because we have the knowledge and we have the experience. So Paul here, you know, he had the revelation of Christ. But then we need to go deeper to see what is it to experience Christ. You know, Paul, okay, Philippians 1:21, who's got it? Okay, he said, for to me to live is Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Can we all say that?
For to me to live is Christ.
Now, what does that mean? You know, even grammatically it's okay, but, you know, Andrew, what does that mean? Christ has lived through you and out of you. He didn't say, for me to live is with Christ, or for me to live is Christ helping me, right? He just said, for to me to live is Christ. So, you see, Brother Don, if Don is living Christ, you just see Christ. This is what it is to experience Christ, right? We can have a lot of experiences. We can have experiences of the Lord taking care of us, experiences of the Lord answering our prayers, experiences of enjoying the Lord. These are all good experiences. But tonight, and especially in verse 10, we're going to see some things which really are the secret and the way to get to the goal and to get the prize. You know, that I may gain Christ.
Amen.
One day, Christ laid hold of you, Louise, right? You remember that day? You do. And now you should be trying to lay hold of him, to gain him. But you might have him as knowledge. You might even have him as the groceries. But you got to know how to cook him. And you got to know how to experience all the riches of him. And this is what we're talking about. So, you know, I just want to have a little more burden. We, you know, this afternoon, I think you're probably most all here. You heard a word about this age. And we have an enemy. And we got to realize we got a real enemy. And he's God's enemy. And he is very, very, very motivated. Because when the end comes, he's through. So, I mean, he's in a death, you know, his dying throes. I mean, something's dying, they're fighting, and, you know, he's going to fight with all his might. And if you are the one that he can use to prolong his stay, he doesn't care about you. And he'll use anything he can. It's pretty scary. And the things are subtle, and you don't realize it, and you get sucked in quite easily. So we need to have a clear vision of Christ. We need to have a clear vision of God's economy so we can give ourselves in an absolute way. If you give yourself in an absolute way, you won't be frustrated. If you give yourself in a half-hearted way, you'll be full of frustration. Christian life doesn't work. Why can't I enjoy the Lord? Why is God not real to me? I mean, I've been through this, okay? But if we can give ourselves 100% to the Lord, to this vision, and even say, Christ, you're not that excellent in my sight. It's okay, tell the Lord that. You've got to show me more, right? Lord, draw me more from all these other things. You know, we can't automatically just, oh, I don't love that, I love the Lord. Well, you got to love the Lord, right? You got to love the Lord. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. We all love the Lord.
Amen.
We need to pray that we could see more of his excellency. When we see that, we'll have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Okay. Amen. Okay. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together.
All aspire to know Christ.
Amen. So, in this first point, we covered this already. To have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ in Philippians 3:8 is by revelation. But to know him in verse 10 is by experience. In verse 10, He says, to know him, right? And that's based on everything that went before. So Paul was the top Jew, Pharisee, Christian killer, persecutor. He had the best job for a Jew. I mean, in his mind, he was, you know, making God happy. The Lord appeared to him, changed him 180 degrees. And then, so then he said, I just count all those things as loss. And even they're just dung. You know what dung is, right? Right. Now, you know, if I said, hey, I'm going to give you a new laptop, you want it? It's made out of dung, but you want it? It works. Would you take it? One of those dung laptops? Or your money? You know, these things, it's a piece of paper. Actually, if you checked into it, it's really dirty. Just not even, money is kind of a bad thing. It's just like that paper dollar bill, you don't know where it's been. So don't value it that highly, right? But all the things that were gained, his Pharisee degree, gone, dung. Actually, it's a distraction to him, right? So all the things that we value, right, that we would look up to, that we'd want to be, right? I don't know if you all know who Tarzan was, but, you know, we all got something. Paul had something. But eventually, he said even his righteousness, you know, he, according to the law, he was blameless in man's eyes, right? But he says, I don't want that anymore. And he said, I want to be found in Christ. Amen. I don't want to be found in the law. I want to be found in Christ. Amen. And then this all leads up to know him. Amen. This is like the summary of all that's gone before. You know, I want to gain him. I want to be found in him. I want to know him. Amen. I want to know him experientially. In point B, says that Paul had experienced and gained Christ tremendously. And I think if we were aware of the history, he must have. You look at all the things he'd been through, all the sufferings he'd been through, all that he'd given up. To be in a prison after being beaten, even if you know you're supposed to be rejoicing at that point, that would not be easy. But I don't think Paul and Silas were saying, hey, Silas, I think we should sing a hymn. Silas says, I don't know, Paul, which hymn do you think we should sing? Oh, maybe we should pray. Oh, Lord. Why did you forsake us? Please get us out of this mess. You know, they were just enjoying the Lord. So he had a tremendous experience of the Lord. That wasn't a performance. That was what they were. I think tonight we should see, you know, when I came here, walking up, people were looking at us, at me, and they concluded one thing, I must be sharing tonight. Now, I challenged everyone. Why do you think I'm sharing tonight? Suit. And if I'd been wearing a suit every day, maybe I could have fooled everyone. They said, oh, Dave's wearing a suit. He always wears a suit. But of course, we don't let you wear shorts. We don't make you wear suits either. It's a little hot. So anyway, I'm wearing a suit. Praise the Lord. But, and this isn't just a performance. I have worn suits at other times. But there's something of an element of, you know, this apparently isn't really me in everyone's eyes. Right? So when your friends come up to you and say, you're a Christian? I never knew that. Yeah, Lord. Anyone ever say that to you? I've had that said to me. Not too recently, fortunately. But, you know, what's our living? Well, Paul, he just lived Christ. Right? And so he had this kind of experience, but still he had this longing when he wrote this book to know him. Right? Now, how do we know him? There's some different points here. Paul has some aspirations in verse 10. And these are like the details of knowing him. So number one, you've got to know him and what? The power of his resurrection. Number two, what? The fellowship of his sufferings. Being conformed to his death, number three. And ultimately, the goal or the issue is that if perhaps I may attain or arrive at the out-resurrection from the dead. And we'll cover all these points. So first one is Paul aspired to know the power of Christ's resurrection. Now, what is resurrection? Andrew, what is resurrection? No, wait, I already called on you. Mark, what's resurrection? To be raised from the dead. That's right. David, can you add anything to that? Bring you out of a low point. Israel, oh, Prince of God. What do you think? When God raised you from the dead. Okay. Now, all of those are fine. But we got to see what Paul's talking about here. In the Bible, actually, you know, Jesus was resurrected, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Do you realize other people were resurrected? You don't? Lazarus. Okay, you get 1 point. Who else got resurrected? The widow in chapter what of Luke? The son, yeah, the widow's son. The widow of Nain, right? Okay. And then, anybody else get resurrected? Who? Yeah, right? What else you got? Yeah, okay, what was his name? Yeah, you don't know. The guy, the young man who fell out the window. Amy, you know the name, right? Oh, everyone from Berkeley should know that one. That's the trivia question we always ask. You know, when the Lord, actually, if you read in Matthew, I believe it is, when he, on his crucifixion, right, the tombs were opened. Quite a few people came out. That'd be quite a testimony. You're having dinner, knocking the door, and, oh, it's Uncle Job. I thought, didn't we go to his funeral a couple weeks ago? It'd be hard to deny something really happened. Right? They could say, oh, Jesus' disciples came and took him away. But what about all these other people? Right? And there are others, Old Testament. So, actually, there are a number of cases of resurrection recorded in the Bible. You know what happened to all those people? They died again. Lazarus is no longer among us. Probably a good thing. And when they were resurrected, what kind of a life did they live? Same. They just lived. The widow's son, she was happy, only son, received him back. Christ's compassion is a wonderful story. He died again. So, kind of too bad. So they were resurrected, you know, back to their old creation life. That is resurrection. But that's not the resurrection Paul's talking about here. You know, the power of his resurrection. How about someone read Ephesians chapter 1, 19 through 20? Maybe someone can recite that. If you can't, it's okay. Save me looking it up. If anyone gets it, just stand up and be bold. Okay, go. Good.
And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the operation of the might of his strength, which he caused to operate in Christ, in raising him from the dead, and seating him at his right hand in the heavenly.
Okay, that's good. He caused this power to operate in Christ, in raising him from the dead, and seating him. This isn't just, let's get you out of death. Humanly, bring that body back to life. This is a power that overcomes death. Amen. And that raises you up to the heavenlies. Amen. This is not just, you know, I mean, I can't raise anyone from the dead. Right, anyway. But just, you know, that'd be a pretty good trick. Andrew, just now, dinner wasn't so good. You know, falls over and they say, oh, Andrew. And he comes back to life. You'd say, wow, that's pretty cool. And Andrew goes out, goes to movies, and, you know, smokes and whatever he does, you know. And you'd say, I don't say he does. I'm, He's a good young brother. I have no idea what he does. But you get my point? So what I've done is I brought him back to his fallen human life. Wow. Sometimes it might be better not to be raised. You have more chance to go on and sin. But this isn't what happened with Christ. This isn't the resurrection power that Paul's talking about. We need to have this resurrection power to overcome the death in us.
Amen.
And we need to have this resurrection operating in us to bring us out of the old creation and into the new creation.
Amen.
So it's not just merely, you know, to know the power of your resurrection. Paul's saying, one day I'm going to die and I hope that I'll be raised from the dead. Well, you know that this might burst some bubbles. Probably not. But do you know that you don't have to be a believer to be resurrected? Everybody gets resurrected. So there's no real... It's like, wow, I got resurrected. Yeah. I didn't even believe in Jesus. I got resurrected. Wonderful. I said, good. And you're going to go before Jesus as the judge and the lake of fire is over there. So, wonderful. I got resurrected just to go spend eternity in the lake of fire. Hallelujah. So just being resurrected doesn't, you know, it's great. Everyone gets raised from the dead. But some get raised to judgment. Some get raised to something more. We'll see more about that later. But this isn't something we're looking forward to in the future, right? Actually, let me ask you this. Where is Christ now?
Spirit.
Hallelujah. Where else is he? That's right, too. Where else is he? Well, one place he is, he's in resurrection. So if he's in resurrection and you want to know him, where should you be? You got to be in the resurrection. Another thing, you know, when Lazarus died, right? You all, I don't know if you're all familiar with the story. If you're not familiar with the story, go home and read John chapter 11 tonight. But his sisters came out, and, oh, Jesus, if you'd have been here, you could have saved him. Woe is us. And Jesus said, hey, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, there's a big difference between saying, yeah, I can raise him from the dead. I'll pray to God. He said, I am the resurrection. You understand? I am the resurrection. You got that? Yeah. We know that eventually you came in the world. And so eventually you get the shortest verse in the Bible, which is a very, very meaningful verse, which is Jesus wept. He didn't weep because Lazarus died. Think about this logically. Okay, I'm going to go raise him from the dead. Oh, he's dead. I'm so sorry. You know, you got to real. And so this will show you a little bit about shallow Bible understanding. Just think about it for a second. Why would Jesus cry that Lazarus is gone? I'm going to go raise him, and I'm clear about this. I am the resurrection. So if someone says, oh, he's in the Jews, oh, how he loved him. He was weeping because he was so frustrated that nobody knew who he was. And no one would listen to him. So, Mark, you know who the resurrection is?
Christ.
Do you have resurrection in you?
Amen.
Are you sure?
Amen.
Are you in the resurrection?
Amen.
Amen. That's the correct answer each time. Okay. We all have to realize that this one who is resurrection became the life-giving spirit with all the elements of everything he went through. His humanity, right? That's good to have. Also, his death, that's good to have. But also his resurrection, right? He is a resurrection. The resurrection power's in him, and he got installed into us. You know, I can say, do we realize this? I don't realize this. I don't know what I've got in me. You know what you got in you? You know, are you ever kind of in death? You ever pray, Lord, lift me out of death? It's a dumb prayer, right? Oh, Lord, I wish my computer could do word processing. Lord, help my computer do word processing. Why don't you just click on the word icon? And you can do word processing. It's there. It's installed. Right? So we have all these things in us. We have no reason. This is to know Him.
Amen.
You want to know Him?
Amen.
You want to know the power of His resurrection.
Amen.
This is in us.
Amen.
It's available all the time.
Amen.
24/7.
Amen.
It'll operate even when you don't know it's operating.
Amen.
Is that good?
Amen.
So do we need to be in death?
No.
You know, the Lord, He had to go through all these things. And then resurrected. But for us, this is in us now. So we're going to go through death situations. And we're going to suffer. And we need to bear the cross. But we don't do it by ourselves. At least we can't do it by ourselves. We don't need to do it by ourselves. Because look what we have in us already. This is to know Him. Saints, to know Him, we got to know this. We have to experience this. Otherwise, you know, and I just speak really as one of you. Actually, this message tonight is not that easy. On one hand, it's easy to speak, but to realize, you know, Paul said, I don't know if I've obtained. To me, at least in my consideration, you know, you're running a race, there's someone a little ahead and there's someone farther ahead. As far as me and Paul, he's lapping me. He's already gone around the world. You know, so if he's there, where am I? But anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen.
The truth is the truth.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord for the ministry.
Amen.
Right? We need to know Him. To know Him, this is the first thing. So we need to cooperate with the resurrecting Spirit.
Amen.
I like that. The resurrecting Spirit. You know, tonight, are you guys tired? Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, we've got a Spirit that will give life to our mortal bodies.
Amen.
Do you know that? Do you feel a little tired? A little dead? There's something installed in us that wants to get out, even into our mortal bodies,
yeah,
to enliven us.
Amen.
Let's all stand up. Say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
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 Okay, good. That's just to kind of... You know, we always have to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
Don't just exercise your mind. If you exercise your mind tonight, I'll be able to tell, because you'll be the one asleep. If you can, you can sleep, it's okay. I probably won't call on you. Then, by the power of Christ's resurrection, we can deny ourselves and take up the cross and thereby be conformed to His death. We're going to get into that in a minute. And then Christ's resurrection with His power and the life-giving Spirit is the sufficient grace of the processed and consummated triune God.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. But now, you want resurrection to operate, right? Where does it operate? Yeah, in your spirit, but when you think resurrection, what goes along with it? Death. If no death, no life. So, of course, what does that mean? It doesn't mean physically we kill ourselves. It doesn't mean, I know, I want to kill my spirit, so I'm going to go pollute it with all kinds of things, and I'll go do all kinds of sinful things to deaden myself. We don't do that either. But we will enter into situations where death is all around us. The apostle was in that situation, right? These verses... In 2 Corinthians 12:9, you know, Paul, we don't really know what, but he said that after he had this high vision, he said he got a thorn in his flesh. And I don't think that literally means a thorn in my flesh. But something was bothering him significantly. So that he did what we would all do. He prayed, Lord, get rid of this thorn. Lord, I'm your servant. I've done so much. I never ask you for anything. So I'm just going to ask this one time, please take this away. And I'm asking again. This is the second time, Lord. You said if we ask and seek, we'll find and you'll answer. So anyway, Lord, you didn't answer me yet, so three times. And so then the Lord says, okay, Paul, I heard you the first time. But I'm paraphrasing. I was not there. But anyway, the Lord gave him a better answer. He said, my grace is sufficient for you.
Amen.
And my power is perfected in weakness. So in our death situations, we don't always get delivered from the situation. But we can enjoy this resurrecting spirit in the situation. We do that, we will know Christ. We can say, I know him. I've experienced Christ in this kind of situation. How are we doing on time? I'm ahead of the game here. Let's go on. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together.
Paul aspires to know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings.
Hallelujah. So it's not just to know Christ's sufferings. It's to know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Do you know what the difference is? Well, okay. To be one. Yeah. You know what fellowship means? One accord. Yeah. Fellowship means joint participation. So if I want to be one with Brian's sufferings, I don't know, you got sufferings? You got them. So I got to be one with him somehow. And I'm not sure how to do that. A lot of times, better fellowship, something. But even then it's hard to be one. You know, when you might have heard this phrase sometimes. Brother, you're having a hard time, but I'm just one with you. It's a nice thought. I appreciate the sentiment, but I don't know if you're really one with me, right? I mean, I'm not saying don't say that, and don't pray for one another and try to support one another. But when you get right down to it, especially humanly, you know, you ever hear this expression? People say, well, something bad happened. Our thoughts are with you. I mean, what does that even mean? I mean, where I'm thinking of you, I'm thinking of how glad I am that I'm not you. Or I'm thinking of, oh, I feel so bad for you, which also doesn't do anything. Right. Oh, Brian, I feel so bad. Yeah. I'm glad you feel bad. Thing. You know, what are you supposed to say? Well, you know, we always say, oh, don't feel bad. That doesn't matter either. Right? This is all in the human realm. Right? But we need to be, right, to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. So in the joint participation of his sufferings. So we covered A already. B here, it says, Christ's sufferings are of two categories. Those for accomplishing redemption, which were completed by Christ himself, and those for producing and building the church, which need to be filled up by the apostles and the believers. Someone look up Colossians 1:24. Don't read it yet, just have it ready. So, Christ basically had two categories of suffering. Now, did he suffer and die for us? Right? Praise the Lord. This is so good. Because we can't even die. Well, we could die for ourselves. It still wouldn't do any good. If we're under the penalty of the law, penalty is death. I die for myself, and you're still condemned. You get to die under God's law and then get resurrected to face judgment. Not too attractive. But the Lord, as the perfect God-man, came, became a man, lived a perfect human life, suffered tremendously his whole life, but eventually died for us so that we wouldn't have to die that death. We can be redeemed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So do we have to do anything about that?
No.
Yeah, we do. We have to receive it. You got to follow the thought here. Okay, so Christ did everything for us, right? So as far as redemption is concerned. And this is available to everybody. So no one can ever say God's not fair. Oh, how come he condemns you. Oh, how come I'm condemned? Well, it's because you're a sinner. That's why you're condemned. You want to get out of it? Jesus died for you. You want it? Amen.
Amen.
Take it. It's free. Oh, I don't want that. Oh, it's good for you, not for me. I'll try to find my own way. Yeah, you'll find your own way to the lake of fire. I know the way. I can direct you there. You're going to head there anyway. You know, enjoy life while you can. It's going to be bad. So we need the gospel. We really need the gospel. Oh, Lord Jesus, I don't want to get off track too much. We need the gospel. I mean, everyone is perishing. Christ paid a great price. You know, he was a real man, flesh and blood. Those nails hurt. And not just the nails. You know, you can't imagine probably a worse way to die. And it's, I mean, he lasted 6 hours, and they said they were surprised he was already dead. You know, 6 hours of suffering, you're dead. Wow, he's already dead. That's pretty amazing. We expected, I guess they must go longer. Anyway, so that's a suffering that's uniquely Christ's. Praise the Lord, we don't have to go through that. But there's another suffering. And when Paul says the fellowship of his suffering, so he's not talking about that suffering. He's not saying, I want to, you know, people do this sometimes, like around, you know, that pagan holiday Easter, right? They'll put themselves on cross. Man, that's just stupid. I mean, it does nothing. It shows they don't know anything about anything. I mean, if you did that, just think about it. I'm God. I became a man, or you could say my son, whichever way you want to look at it. I did this, and now you're going to pretend to do the same thing. You're not even going to do it. You say, okay, God, isn't that great? It's like you don't even care what I did. I mean, it's just, it's not, that's religion. That's stupid. There's a lot of stupid things. Don't be stupid people. Don't ever do things like that. If you see someone doing something like that, say, you're stupid. No, Lord. Anyway, that's not the fellowship of his sufferings. Those are the wrong sufferings. But he suffered another way. Right? In John chapter 12, verse 24. Anybody know what that says? Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So Christ at this time, he had just come in a kind of triumphant way. People were welcoming him. The Greeks were seeking him. You know, the whole world's coming after him. And he said, now is the time for the Father to be glorified. And he said this word, you know, to be sown into the ground probably is not that pleasant. And he realized that on the cross, he was going to die as a seed. And the outward shell of his humanity was going to be broken to release the divine life. And it got into you. So now you know what you are?
God-man.
Yeah, but you know what else? Come on, follow the analogy here. Okay, you're a God-man. You're a seed.
Amen.
What kind of seed are you?
God seed.
Yeah. Right. You have God in you. What are you going
to
grow? Right. So, you know, now, did you ever study some plant biology?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. You're the right boy. Okay. So, now I get a wheat seed. Okay. I'm going to plant in the ground. What am I going to get? Wheat.
Oh, wheat.
Wheat. I don't plant weeds. That's a different parable. Okay. So, okay, Chad, hang with me here. Now, okay, we're going to plant some wheat. What? Now, it's not genetically engineered. What's going to happen? I give it some soil and water. Going to grow wheat, right? How many? And it's going to have a bunch of grains of? Right. Now, if I take those grains and plant them,
more wheat.
Now, you were not the original grain, but you were one of the later ones. So you know what? If you get sown into the ground, you know what you're going to produce? This is the fellowship of his suffering. So he suffered in that way to produce the body. To have his human life broken. Actually, he bore the cross his whole life. But then the divine life is released and it got into you. So then if we go out to preach the gospel, which isn't always that easy, we might suffer. Maybe you're at work or at school and you're in your class and you got a burden for your classmates or your friends, and one day you say, here's a typical heathen, and you say, typical heathen friend, I just, you know, I love Jesus. And I heard that you're going to go to the lake of fire. But not just that. You know, I can see you're miserable. And anyway, I just want to let you know that we're having a Bible study tonight. And here's a Bibles for America card. And you can read it and, you know, stumble through it. And then he says, he doesn't say, yes, great. He says, you're a Christian? Go away. And then he starts talking to the other guy. There's, yeah, what the? And then pretty soon the whole class is against you. Right? Or at your work. And your boss eventually has to call you in the office and says, well, we've got a little problem here. You know, we really like to work as a team. And you're obviously not a team player. So since your contract isn't, anyway, I hope you can find another job. And we'll give you 2 weeks severance pay. And this is suffering. I mean, people have suffered that way. Right? Many. Actually, to stand for this truth, you know, God became a man to make man God in life and nature. Not everyone accepts that. We see God's economy. I mean, this is a marvelous blessing to know what's the goal, to know what we're here for. It's not just, oh, believe in Jesus, go to heaven, and nothing else really matters. You know, we have a direction. We've got a goal. We've got a course. We've got a way. We've got a path, amen. Right? We've got a marvelous destination. We've got a marvelous enjoyment. Not everyone agrees with this, likes this, wants this. Oh, all the religions are the same. You know, whatever. What? They're all stupid. But anyway, you can suffer this way. This is the fellowship of his suffering. There's other kinds of suffering. You know, we've got our individual sufferings for our transformation, right? The Lord Jesus did not need to be transformed. He was sinless. He had Christ, well, he was Christ, but he had God in him. He was the perfect God-man. So he didn't need to go through that kind of transformation process, moving outward from his spirit. We do, praise the Lord, and we will, and you got to. But that's not the sufferings we're talking about here. Right? That's certainly suffering, and it's certainly something that will produce something in you positively that we need to go through. But strictly, this is talking about the sufferings for the producing of his body. And there's another kind of suffering. Anybody know what it is? It's when you, from our mistakes, right? And actually, this is a very, very, very minor point, but I want to spend a little time on it. Kind of in line with what I said earlier. You know, everybody make mistakes. Everyone made mistakes before. Have you ever suffered for your mistakes? You know, you write the wrong answer on the exam, you get a B instead of an A, or a C instead of an A, or you fail the course instead of passing the course, you know, whatever it might be. You say the wrong thing to someone, you turn around, you knock the glass on the floor. I mean, we have little, you know, just mistakes, little accidents that just, you know, things that happen. We suffer because of those. Then there's other things that aren't really mistakes, it's just things that we do. So you don't study for the exam and you fail. Well, that's not so good, right? That's an avoidable mistake. But then don't blame God, which I've heard. You ever heard those, Brian? You know, brother came up and he said, why would the Lord arrange for me to get stopped for speeding? I just don't understand. I mean, no joke. And it's like, well, I didn't say anything. I mean, the brother's pouring out. And I'm just, Maybe you shouldn't have been speeding. Or maybe the Lord arranged for that so you wouldn't get killed because you're going too fast. And I just want to say, we need to watch out. I mean, we need to live a proper human life. We're fallen. We're going to make mistakes. We're not perfect. That's going to happen. But some things are avoidable. And, you know, some little mistakes will cost you and will change your life forever. You know, if you're... Anyone ever run through a red light? Well, you got to drive first, but anyone who drives... You ran through a red light? Why did you do it? You just didn't know it was there, right? Okay, that's good. Well, I mean, it's not good, but I've run through red lights before, too, and stop signs and yield signs, yellow lights. But sometimes it's just the light turns red, and I'm talking, and you know, a lot of times there's red light, all these lights in a row, and I'm not looking at this one, I'm looking at the next one. And I'll just go through, and my wife will say, did you know you just went through a red light? And then I look around, it's like, are there any police? And I go, you know. I'm concerned about getting a ticket because it's going to cost me some money. But what if I go through that red light and there's a pedestrian there? You know, and it's one thing to do it by mistake like us. You know, we only do it by mistake. But what if you do it deliberately? Oh, I can beat it. You know, speed limit is 25. If I get up to 45, I'm two blocks away, the light's turning yellow, I can make it. And it's red, but it was only red for like 3 seconds before I got in. So I could argue I was half a block away, you know. And the traffic's starting to come in. You hit someone. Things happen. Things happen. Don't take risks. You know, going on with the fellowship this afternoon, we have an enemy. Don't give him any ground to damage you, to alter your life. Don't do stupid things. I speak to, you know, I mean, I realize some of you are kind of, I was never that much of a thrill seeker. Praise the Lord. But I did a lot of stupid things. And I'm not going to tell you what they were. And I can look back and I could say the Lord was really with me on that one. Because that was really dumb. You can talk to me later. I'm not going to get this on tape. You know, the devil, he tempted the Lord Jesus, and the Lord withstood him. One thing he tempted him with is go up on top of the temple and jump off. Right? And he even used scripture. He says, angels will come.
That's where they get the word daredevil. It's daredevil.
You dare the devil. You dare the devil. Right? Now we can have the thought, God will always protect me. Right? Are we in the Lord's recovery?
Amen.
Doesn't God love us?
Amen.
Doesn't God want the best for us?
Amen.
Haven't we done a lot of things for Him? Won't He protect us no matter what we do?
No.
Don't tempt the Lord. The Lord Jesus didn't. Another thing is we need to realize our value. We tremendously devalue ourselves. Do you know how valuable you are? I mean, really? You know what God paid for you? He gave His life for you. He suffered incredibly for you. He put His life into you. He has a huge investment in you. Why don't we value ourselves the same way God values us? You know, the devil also tempted the Lord. He said, look. Felipe, right? Hey, come here. Let me show you this. Okay. Whoosh. See all the world? You know who it belongs to? Me. No. It's mine. God gave it to me. And that's right. It was the devil's. He was not lying. I'll give it all to you. You want it? No. I'll give it to you. You're a man, right? And all you have to do is just follow me. Worship me. What do you think? Well, you can say whatever you want. Yeah, the Lord said no, right? Would we say no? Right, would we say no? I believe we would all say no. Karis, would you say no? You wouldn't say no, or you would say no. You'd say no, right? Jeremy, would you say no? Okay. We'd all say no. The devil offers us the whole world. So then why, when the devil offers us a video game for 1 hour instead of going to the meeting, would we take it? Ooh, gotcha. Esau didn't value the birthright, sold it for a bowl of soup. We all say, Esau, you're so stupid, right? He was. This is the stupid message. We need to realize how valuable we are. We are just so precious. Of course, the Lord is the most precious one, but we are the center of God's plan. He wants to reproduce himself in us. So don't sell yourself for nothing. At least get the whole world. And don't get that either. Just don't give the devil anything. We're more valuable than the whole world. Do you realize that? I mean, you know, hey, Brian, can I have your car? I'll give you 10 cents for it. Yeah. I mean, it's like that. Here, give me some of your time that is meant to enjoy the Lord, and I'll give you nothing for it. No, actually, I'll damage you. What, a deal? Anyway, Lord Jesus, that's not the point of this message. But you have to value yourself. Me too. Oh, Lord Jesus. Anyway, we're the many grains. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we the many grains?
Yes.
What do we need to do? Die. You know when it's easiest to die? Actually, when you're dead, it's easy to experience resurrection. If you're not dead, there's no resurrection. And we already have the resurrection in us. Since we already have the resurrection in us, it's so easy to enter into death. Right? So when you go to preach the gospel, or when you go to do something, you know, for the sake of the Lord's body, and you are reproached, or you're criticized, or you're stoned, or you're martyred, you know, don't look for martyrdom. But psychologically, I mean, you're going to get beat up. If you're friends with the world will be friends with you. But the Lord was not a friend of the world. So if the world hated him, it's going to hate us. Praise the Lord, we're not here for the world.
Amen.
We've got to be clear what our goal is.
Right.
We want to gain Christ.
Amen.
If I gain the world but lost my Savior, well, how's the next line go? Were my life worth living for a day? For a day. Give up the world, Christ to obtain. He is so rich.
Amen.
He is so full.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's easy to share that in this meeting, but saints, give up the world.
Amen.
So let's go die as the many grains to produce many more grains.
Yeah.
Of course, our life doesn't get released. But I go, I deny myself,
yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
In my sufferings with Christ, I deny myself. I speak the Lord's life into someone else, and there's a reproduction. It's the most amazing thing. Where are we now? Point four. Let's read Roman numeral 4 together. This is kind of the final point from this. Actually, this is the result. This is the issue. The issues in being conformed to the death of Christ. And this is the base of our experience of Christ. Now, confirmation, the word means, you know, being in the form of. I don't know if that's the exact definition. But if I could take the mold of Brian, and I could put Andrew into it, kind of smash him in there. Actually, I'd have to probably add Don, too. You know. Sorry, bro. Yeah. Anyway, or maybe I could, you know, get an Andrew-sized mold of Brian, something like that. Smash him in there and, you know, grind him in really good and peel him out. You'd look at it and you'd say, hey, that's Brian. Because he's been conformed. So what does it mean to be conformed to the death of Christ? Well, What the death of Christ here, when did Christ die? When was he crucified? I don't want a date. I want an event. Was he crucified on the cross? Actually, he was crucified his whole life. He had a type of expression. You know, the Lord, was the Lord perfect? Did he ever sin? He always did good, right? Do you always do good? Do you ever sin? So you know what we look at is let's get rid of that sin, right? And we get all caught up in trying to do good. And let's, you know, if the older you get, maybe, I don't know if you care that much when you're younger. If I could just not sin for a certain period of time, I'd be so happy. You ever feel that way, Ken? Maybe you're beyond that. You know, it's just like, if I could just not sin, not have this fallen humanity, I'd be so happy. And then God would be happy too, right? No. Jesus was perfect. Jesus did not sin. Jesus, his whole life, was denying himself. Jesus, his whole life, was bearing the cross. Jesus, his whole life, was living by the Father's life. He didn't speak anything that the Father didn't speak. He didn't do anything the Father didn't do. So that when his disciples said, just show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient for us. And he says, you know, I've been with you so long, and you ask, show me the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because he was not just one with God, he was just living out God. He had this kind of expression. You know, this was shared recently, but the Apostle Paul, who wrote Philippians. Have you ever read Acts? It's a really good book. It's kind of an adventure story. I really like Acts. Actually, Acts is a very confusing book theologically, but I really like it. I won't get into that either. And anyway, at one point, Paul's there, and he's been he's been in jail for, you know, didn't really do anything other than upset the Jews. And they're going to try to kill him. He says, send me to Caesar. And okay, you'll go to Caesar. He's imprisoned for a while. So he's a prisoner. What status does a prisoner have? Not much, right? But eventually, you know, the story, they go on the boat and there's a storm and they're all going to die and everyone's despairing of living. And Paul says, hey, I prayed. You know, then he says, cheer up, man. Right? And they did. So they didn't say, hey, let's elect Paul captain now. Right? You know, captain of the ship, we're going to make. You know, he's still the prisoner. Right? And eventually, of course, the boat breaks apart, but they all make it to the island safe. And then they were received, and they're building a fire, and Paul's throwing a stick on the fire, and a snake comes out and bites him. You ever read that part? That's the exciting part. And then the natives, they're saying, oh, he must be a criminal, right? Because the gods tried to finish him off in the sea and didn't work, so now justice has been served. Instead, Paul says, hey, snake, you know, get off. Throws him in the fire. And they say, okay, he's going to die. Let's watch. He doesn't. So then they change their mind about Paul. He's a god. Well, yeah, they were right. What was he expressing? Right? He's still a prisoner. And he goes and heals this guy. And eventually they send him off. And I don't think I wasn't there. But I think it's because of Paul that they were so happy with him. You know, it wasn't because, oh, Captain so-and-so is there with the soldiers and this and that and the crewmen. It was all about Paul. At that point, you could just take the word Jesus and substitute it for Paul. He's just Jesus on the earth again. This is the reproduction. So he's in the mold of Christ, right? But he's conformed to his death because he's always denying himself. This is what it means. So if we to know Christ, we have the resurrection power, we're in the fellowship of his sufferings, eventually this just results in us living the same life that Jesus lived. Letting the life inside of us come out because we're denying ourselves. We're living a day-by-day crucified life. And B, it says, the mold of Christ's death refers to the continual putting to death of his natural human life that he might live by the life of God. Next point says, God has put us into the mold of Christ's death, and day by day, God is molding us through our circumstances to conform us to his death. So we need to be conformed to the death of Christ. Day by day. Hallelujah! And then we experience his all-accomplishing death. Check the time here. Oh, Lord Jesus. We experience Christ and his death for the release, impartation, and multiplication of life. And the more we're conformed to Christ's death, the more we glorify the Father. You know what glorification is, right? That's the expression of God. How can we glorify God? We have to express him. So when the guy, the football player, runs and scores a touchdown and scores a winning touchdown, he says, I just give all the glory to God. That's not what we're talking about. I don't think anybody cares about God. I don't think when he says, I give all the glory to God, suddenly the sinners are going to repent and say, oh, it was God that did it. Hey, guys, let's drop the popcorn and go break out our Bibles. They have John 3:16 when they kick the extra points. That always inspires, I mean, everyone in the stands sees that. They say, well, John 3:16, what's that? Let's go to the bookstore and get a Bible and check. Anyway, you know. This is glorifying the Father is God's desire that he'd be lived out from us. The way he's lived out from us is by being conformed to the death of Christ. Actually, this is kind of, all these things work together. You know, if you kind of say, right now, am I in the resurrection or am I in the sufferings or am I in the death? Actually, the result is being conformed to the death. But as long as we are denying ourselves, living in this way, we will enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. And we will be supplied by the power of his resurrection. We need to be conformed. Then when we die the death of Christ and are conformed to his death, we shall be a magnet drawing others to Christ. You know, the Lord said in John 12:32, he says, If I'm lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men to myself. And drawing is attracting. So do you know what the most attractive thing to people is? You want people to be saved? Who has a burden for people to be saved? You got a burden for your friends. You know how to do it? It's not inviting them to the best dinner. You can do that. It's not giving them the best Bible. You can do that. It's for you to die. I don't mean physically. But for you to deny yourself so that the life of Christ can come out. This is the attracting thing. Right, the Lord himself was crucified, and he drew all men to himself. You know, the Lord, when he was on the earth, he didn't look like much. You know, if you look at the little descriptions in the Bible, he didn't have a pleasant appearance. You know, he didn't look like Brian. Brian stands up, people, oh, yeah, I'll follow him. I mean, they said people would turn aside. You know, would you like to look like that? Walk down the street and people... I mean, that's what the Bible says. And he was despised, in a sense, but he attracted crowds. And then even after he died, he's still attracting crowds. What person who, you know, the world says he's been dead for 2,000 years. They say he was just a prophet, he was just some... Then why are all these people following him? You want him to follow Jesus? You need to die. You need to deny yourself and let the life of Christ come out. Amen. We need to be conformed to the death of Christ. Don't be conformed to this age. Does anybody know Romans 12:2? Oh, if someone knows it, say it. Don't just mumble. Luis. transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, we don't be fashioned, don't be conformed to this age. That's what so many Christians are doing. We want to attract people. What do people like? Oh, they like rock music. Or they like, what other kind of music? I don't know the music they got now, which isn't music, you know. They like that. Let's have that. Let's have parties. Let's have dances. Yeah, wouldn't that be great? People will come to that. Let's have fireworks. Let's have singles night. Right? Let's have all these things. You know, I wish I had the picture of this. The full-timers in Berkeley know I like to collect these things. But I get junk in the mail like everybody does. I got this little book. It's got, well, Amy's groaning already. It's got like coupons and whatnot. But on the cover, they've always got some big advertisement. And invariably on the cover is some local Christian denomination or group. And it's just like they seem like, let's see if we can make outdo ourselves from the last one in terms of being so bad. Most of the time you look at it and you think, what is this advertising? And you look at the bottom, it's such and such, such church. And they had this one, and I've saved this one, I'm going to frame it. It's got, you know what the Transformers are, these robots? And, you know, my kids know them all. Anyway, they're advertising a summer kind of Bible camp kind of thing. And so they got some guys in costumes, and they got a picture of one of these Transformers on the cover. And it looks like a lot, you know, fun games, all these kind of things, and come to our summer Bible camp. And so the kids are going to go. But then they actually put a verse on it. And usually you can't find anything God, Jesus, Bible mentioned other than such and such church at the bottom. They put a verse on. You know what verse they used? Romans 12:2. Because it has the word transform in it. It's absolutely the wrong, 180-degree wrong verse to use. Do not be conformed to this age. But since it has the word transform in it, we're okay because we're talking about transformers here. You see why I don't like it? But I saved it because it's so bad. My wife threw it away. I pulled it out. So, don't be conformed to this age. You want to attract people, become a grain of wheat. You are a grain of wheat. But fall into the ground and die. That's what attracts people. People don't, I mean, don't be deluded. I mean, if anybody's attracted by me, they're really dumb. I mean, you know, right, any of the brothers, right? It's like, you know, hey, Charles. Charles is going to be there. I'll be there, too. I mean, you know, if Charles heard that, he would groan. I mean, he'd be like the Lord. He'd tear his garments. You know, Apostle Paul, he goes in some place, they're honoring him, you know, as a god. He's like, what are these people doing? I'm not a god. I'm a man like you. But I do know one. Right? Don't get a following. Don't try to get it. And if you find out they're following you, you need to go repent. Because it's, you know, eventually when you're gone, the whole thing blows up. And that's not a loss for God, actually, because whatever you had wasn't, I don't know what it was. Just die. Just die. Just fall into the ground and die.
Amen.
Enter in the fellowship of his sufferings.
Amen.
Oh, I'm doing good. And then if we're willing to be conformed to Christ's death, we shall overcome the world and defeat Satan. Let's read that together.
If we are willing to be conformed to Christ's death, we shall overcome the world and defeat Satan.
Do you want to overcome the world?
Amen.
There's one in you who overcame the world.
Amen.
All you have to do is stop trying. Yeah, hallelujah. Have you ever been successful overcoming the world? Then why do you keep trying? Stop trying and start dying.
Amen.
A dead person has no problem with the world. Right? No, you know, if I'm here dead, you know, you can come look at me and say, oh, he looks so lifelike and looks like, you know, whatever. But I don't have, the world doesn't trouble me anymore. I don't know where my standing with the Lord is, but anyway, the world is not bothering me. The world's not saying, Let's get him. Let's get him. Let's tempt him. I mean, I'm dead. So we just die. Just deny yourself. If we're willing, our will, are we willing to deny ourselves? Are we willing to deny ourselves? Pick up the cross. And we have all the equipment in us to do this. This is to know him. This is to experience him. This is the experience of Christ. Then we arrive, right? The result is that we may attain to or arrive at the out-resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
This is the goal. You know, in verse 14, or whatever, not verse 14, 12. They're all good verses, it's okay. He says, I have not that I have already obtained, already perfected. You know, on one hand, the goal is the fullest enjoyment of Christ in this age. We should all strive for this. And the prize is the outstanding enjoyment as our prize in the next age, the kingdom age, right? But this is the out-resurrection from the dead. The out-resurrection is a funny word because, you know, people don't say, oh, of course people don't ever use the word resurrection anyway, but out-resurrection. But that's straight from the Greek. There's another word that's just resurrection. If you put this little prefix on it, it becomes out-resurrection. This is the outstanding resurrection. Right? This is the better resurrection. And there's other verses here. Actually, it's always, you know, these verses on the outlines, I don't know if you ever noticed, they're there for a reason. If you want to do some PSRP, a good thing to do when you get to the S part, the study part, read those verses and try to figure out why did they put them there. Right? There's a verse, Hebrews 11:35, and I don't remember it verbatim, but it's something about, you know, women, how does it go? I know the second part.
Receive their dead by resurrection.
Others, yeah. Right. Some were tortured to death, not receiving deliverance, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. That means there's a better resurrection.
Amen.
We know that everyone gets resurrected. We know that the believers in Revelation chapter 20, and there's some different verses here, 1 Corinthians 15:52, they're resurrected, right? The first resurrection, the best resurrection, the resurrection unto life, right? The believers will all be resurrected. But how did you live in this life? It's not so much what you did, it's what you are. Actually, to arrive at the out-resurrection means that we have attained to the out-resurrection in this life. Some of you are, I wouldn't call you good students, but some of you really know how to get good grades. I was one, no longer. I knew how to take a test. I knew what to study for. I got really good at it. I'm boasting. But I was. The final exam would come, and it wasn't because I'd been diligently studying the whole term. A couple hours before the exam, I'd get together with my friend. We'd say, what's important? And we'd study it, and then we'd go out, and I wasn't saved at the time. So the next day, we'd take the exam, we'd get A's. I don't remember very much from those classes, because I didn't get much of those class, the knowledge into me. But I got a good grade. It doesn't work that way with the out-resurrection. You don't say, you know, flash, Jesus coming tomorrow. I'm going to get ready. It's too late. Your only hope is to go somewhere and get martyred really fast. And don't wait for that. I mean, you know, we laugh, but I've heard people say that. I'm not living that good of a life. I'll head to Europe when the Antichrist rises. You might die before then. Or maybe you can't get a plane ticket. Here in the U.S., no one gets martyred. You're stuck. So you know what you got to do? You got to be in the resurrection now. You got to be living in the resurrection, enjoying the resurrection. Who's the resurrection? Jesus is the resurrection.
Amen.
If we live Christ, we're living resurrection.
Amen.
People touch us, they touch resurrection. The dead people around us will get raised, spiritually dead. We are just resurrection people. And then when the time comes, the Lord doesn't say, did Don make it? Let's see what... It's just like, resurrection. Needs a little more maturing. You three over here. You over there. Right? We need to... This is what it means. Paul says, if perhaps I might attain, I might apprehend, I might make it. I might arrive at the out resurrection. How? To know him. The power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his sufferings. Ultimately being conformed to his death. Always denying ourselves. Always living by his life, which is the resurrection life. This is the way. The out resurrection will not be an event. It'll be a foregone conclusion. I mean, some of you being students again, right? I think before the grade comes out, you know what you're getting. Right? You just know because maybe it's an F. But anyway, you know, you're going to get an A. And then you'll graduate. You'll be the valedictorian. You'll get honors, whatever it is, along with all the other graduates who will get diplomas. But you'll get something more. You'll get the outstanding graduation. You'll get the best graduation. You'll get the victorious graduation. Do you want that? Does anybody not want that? Okay, do you choose that? Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to die? I mean, let's face it. Do we love the world somewhat? Just say no. Do you love the world?
No.
Okay, good. But the world's still kind of attractive, right? And sometimes, maybe in a moment of weakness, once or twice a year, we might actually indulge in the world a little bit, right? Oh, Lord Jesus. And also, do you hate yourself? But how much do you hate yourself? I mean, I kind of like myself. I've been with me now for a long time. And I'm quite used to me. And there's some problems I'd like to fix. But basically, you know, it's okay. I've gotten married, so I was able to get married. You know, and things can't be too bad, you know. Well, I just have to go. What do you think? Should I... get rid of me? Say yes. Okay, good. Hallelujah. You're clear. Andrew Cho, you got to go. And we'll just have Christ. Conform. We'll push you into that mold. You'll come out daily being conformed to the death of Christ. Expressing Christ. Then when the Lord would return, those ready for the out-resurrection, those who have already died, we resurrected, they're just ready. There's nothing you've got to do. It's what you are. You will be resurrection people. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let's read B together, the bottom. If you read the verses here, it starts with our spirit. One day our spirit was deadened. We received the Lord, our spirit was made alive. Then gradually, as we allow the Lord and enjoy the Lord and feed on the Lord, he spreads to our soul. Eventually, even in Romans, he gives life to our mortal bodies. Our whole being, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we should all know that verse too. Our whole, right, be preserved complete, spirit and soul and body. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the out resurrection. So all the time, day by day, we need to be the ones enjoying this wonderful resurrection life. So, what's our goal? Christ. But you could say specifically, I want the prize. And to do this, you've got to be willing to pay the price. There's a price to be paid. You've got to run the race with endurance. You've got to enjoy the Lord. You've got to enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. Right? You've got to be willing and ready and entering into being conformed to his death. Amen. So we do this, we will enjoy this resurrection life. The strengthening, the empowering is within us. Amen. We're able to stand in all these death-deadening situations. We can overcome the world because the world-overcoming one is in us. Amen. If we take his life, the world is dead to us and we're dead to the world. Because he died to the world, he died to sin, and he's in us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Hallelujah.
Let's all stand up and say hallelujah three times.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Amen. So I did actually much better than I thought. I ended 3 minutes early. So we still have a lot of time.
Yeah.